Every year around Halloween, I like to take a detour from the usual true crime stuff. I've done episodes in previous years about a strange cryptid seen in Okeechobee back in the early 2000s, and a haunted tree with connections to a serial killer. Back in 2022, I did an episode during Halloween on the UFO prophet of Okeechobee. It was about this man who had an experience with a UFO on the Rim Canal of Lake Okeechobee back in the 90s. As he was sitting outside after work, he saw a craft with strange lights coming down the canal. He then described being put into a trance-like state by the craft, and he witnessed a bizarre, terrifying process where the entities in the craft manifested themselves into biological bodies and walked on the ground next to him. That experience left him scarred, and he developed a sort of religious psychosis from the incident. He reported visions of the world ending, and he wrote this enormous book called The Last Prophet. It was a truly weird and wild story, perfect for Halloween. But since that episode in 2022, the UFO narrative has only gotten crazier.
David Grush, an Air Force veteran, former member of that task force, and veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, is formally blowing the whistle on secrets he says no one has ever shared publicly before.
Do you believe that our government is in possession of UAPs?
Absolutely, based on interviewing over 40 witnesses over 4 years.
Has any of the activity been aggressive, been hostile?
I know of multiple colleagues of mine that got physically injured.
The entire American public has been lied to for decades.
Yeah, there's a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral.
Do you believe that a higher form of non-human intelligence has visited this planet?
Non-human intelligence exists. Non-human intelligence has been interacting with humanity. This interaction is not new, and it's been ongoing.
They're very interested in our consciousness and our soul. And they're very interested in making sure that we don't know they're here and that we don't all align and understand who we are, what we're capable of.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are.
Just in the last few years, we've had UFO hearings where whistleblowers came out and testified that not only are UFOs real, but the US government has been running a secretive crash retrieval program for decades. But one thing I've noticed over these last few years is that something has shifted. When you listen to these whistleblowers or government officials speak about the issue, they don't use the word aliens to describe the phenomenon. They use the word non-human intelligence. And that's been kind of a tip for me that whatever this thing is, it's much, much stranger than most people are currently realizing. Everyone has this idea of aliens on a distant world, building a spaceship and traveling the stars to visit Earth. But I'm starting to wonder if it's something else. Something that doesn't fit the narratives we have in our head. There might be something about this topic that, if it were known, would completely change humanity in ways we can't fathom. Whatever it is, people are still having encounters with it. In fact, there was another sighting in Okeechobee in 2025. Back in May of this year, a couple from Texas was visiting South Florida and decided to make the trip up to Okeechobee to see the lake. A man named Thomas Cordell and his wife had a free day, and since Thomas was an avid fisherman, they decided to visit Lake Okeechobee. As they were driving out there, he was surprised at how dark the sky was in Okeechobee. There just isn't much light pollution here, which can give you a great view of the stars at night. It was during that drive, late at night, with his attention already being drawn to the dark sky, that Thomas says he saw something else. Something he couldn't explain.
We were working remotely when we were down in Miami. I ventured off. I was like, you know, I'm a bass fisherman. You know, I was like, I would love to see like Okeechobee because it's known for its big bass, Florida bass, and it's supposed to be like the second or third largest lake in America. And by the time we get out that way, that evening, you know, it's pitch black and we're going down this swampy road, you know, I'm like, are we really like going anywhere, you know? And so that's where it started getting a little weird, you know, because once you go down that, was it 710? I mean, you're in a swamp, I think you're in a swamp. And it's dark. It's dark and it's like a little small, you know, almost like a farm to market road almost. And we get up there several miles. I'm thinking, when is this road going to end? And I look over to my left through the windshield and I see like this, like it, I describe it as a pointy leaf shaped thing just suspending in the sky. And it seemed like it was like, and it was just sitting there, but like, it's just suspending out there. And it's not real low, but it's up there. And then she finally focuses on it because I slow down and I point at it. But when I slowed down, you could see it really well. And it was the color of a mixture of orange and red. I was looking at longer than her. So I'm going to say I saw it for at least 20 seconds. And then all of a sudden, when it's sitting like this, and it evaporated. It was gone. It was just gone. And then so we stopped. We stopped, and I said, well, maybe it'll come back. I thought it might have been humans doing something. So when it was doing this, and it turned, when it turned to where it was like one line, it evaporated. And it just not like little by little, it just poof, and it was gone. It just never came back. I was like, huh. So we drove down. I was looking. I was like, well, there's houses down there somewhere, or buildings. And we got down there and got closer to, I guess, the town of Okeechobee. First thing I did is go to a gas station and start asking questions. They probably thought I was drunk. And then there was another guy walking in. He looked like a local. He goes, man, I've been seeing a lot of stuff in the sky. The way it moved so smooth in sync and the odd shape of it, it was just this weird design like a leaf. And when the leaf turned, it evaporated. And it was large. It was very large. It was not tiny.
He reported the sighting to the FAA and the National UFO Reporting Center's website. That website has 8 reported UFO sightings by Lake Okeechobee in the last 10 years. The sighting left Thomas shaken. He's seen drones, planes, helicopters, SpaceX launches, but he says he's never seen anything like what he saw that night near Lake Okeechobee.
Do you have any idea what that was, or?
No, I have no idea whatsoever. I couldn't tell you, and it disappeared. I wish it would have shown back up so I could have drove closer, maybe. I don't know. I told her, I said, I don't know what's going on down here, but there's obviously things down here like Okeechobee that we don't know about.
Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation.
Reputation? I have a reputation?
They feel your methods, your theories are
spooky.
Humanity has long associated swamps with something sinister or dark. There are so many stories of monsters or creatures that live in swamps. Spend a night by yourself out in the middle of nowhere in a swamp and you can kind of see why that is. There's a sense of like foreboding or uneasiness that comes when you're alone out there. Just from a rational perspective, it makes sense why humans feel uneasy in swamps. Thousands of years ago, for our ancestors, getting lost in a swamp was a death sentence. The stagnant water attracts a lot of insects, which can spread disease. The ground is completely soaked and can make walking through difficult. Many swamps are prone to heavy fog, which can make it easy to get lost. And swamps are also inhabited by dangerous animals, alligators, venomous snakes. It makes sense why these stories evolved over time, why people over and over again told each other, "Don't go there." These stories manifested themselves throughout our history. In Eastern Europe, there is a story of a swamp creature named Bolochik. The creature would lure people or animals to the swamp and then drown them. He would mimic animal sounds or even human voices to draw people in. Once their feet were in the water, he would grab them by their ankles and slowly drag them to the depths. In Russia, that swamp spirit is described as a woman, a swamp witch or mistress of the swamp. You probably won't be surprised to learn that Florida swamps have their own versions of these stories as well. The Sagini are monsters from Seminole folklore. Originally, they were evil witches who had transformed themselves into these giant owl creatures. By day, they would still look like normal people, but at night, they vomit up their souls, along with all their internal organs, and become undead owl monsters that feed on human hearts. In some communities, just speaking their name is thought to put you at risk for turning into one. Okeechobee has its very own story involving a swamp witch. You won't find it in any history books. You won't find any mention of it in the official records. And there's a good reason for that. And that's because the swamp witch of Okeechobee doesn't want to be found. Long, long ago, a small village near Lake Okeechobee experienced a storm unlike any other. It rained for so long that the people in town almost forgot what sunlight felt like. For 7 days, the sky hung low and gray over Lake Okeechobee. Water swallowed the dirt roads, crept through floorboards, snakes sought refuge in people's houses to avoid the water. And by the 5th day, a fever had taken hold in the town. It started with the town's doctor. He had been out tending to a child with the chills, wading knee-deep through the rising water to reach the cabin. But after seeing the child, he never made it back home. The next morning, his wife found him in the middle of the woods, clothes torn and soaked with water, babbling incoherently, eyes open and unblinking, fixed towards the sky as if he had seen something. Like the people in Eastern Europe or the Seminoles, the people in town thought this was the result of something evil. The rain, the sickness, this was some kind of curse. And they had the perfect scapegoat for their anxiety. They said it was Hattie, the swamp woman. Black Water Hattie, they called her. Nobody remembered where she'd come from, only that her shack had been there for as long as anyone could recall. Stitched together from driftwood and old boards that looked half digested by the swamp. She would sometimes trade herbs for salt or tobacco, sometimes cured sickness, and sometimes made them worse. Children were told to stay away, and men spat when they said her name. There was no proof she had done anything, but a rumor can travel far, and some stories take on a life of their own. As the fever spread, the talk in the town grew uglier. "She cursed us," they said. "She called the rain. She turned the water against us." By the 7th straight night of rain, they were ready to hang her. Witch hunters have existed for as long as there have been stories of witches. In Europe, these witch hunters would utilize brutal methods to get confessions out of suspected witches. One method was dunking in water, where a victim was tied to a chair which was elevated by ropes above a pond. The victim was then lowered into the water until completely underwater and submerged. The chair was raised if the victim was about to pass out or give the victim a chance to confess. This method was widely used during the Spanish Inquisition and in England and France. Another method to secure a confession involved an instrument known as a thumbscrew, or a devil's handshake. The instrument was just a simple vise, sometimes with protruding studs on the interior surface. Victims' fingers or toes were placed in the vise and slowly crushed until they confessed. And once they confessed, the witches were burned at the stake or hung. But as the men gathered to go on the hunt for the swamp witch, something unexpected happened. That night, a strange sound came from the black water. Not human, not animal. The sound was so loud, it shook houses and rattled the nails in the church doors. By morning, the rain had stopped. As the fever broke and the town started to heal, many of the men still wanted revenge. They blamed the witch for what had happened. The storm, the rain, the fever that nearly killed many of the children in the town. 10 men set out for the swamp witch's shack to find her and bring her to justice. They brought with them plenty of rope. They planned to get a confession out of her, one way or another. But those 10 men went out into the swamp, and they never came back. After a few days, a search party was sent out. But they found no sign of the woman's shack and no sign of those 10 men that went to go find her. But eventually, the search party did find something. In the distance, one man saw what looked like a piece of cloth hanging on a tree branch. As they got closer, they recognized it as an article of clothing from one of the witch hunters. And they noticed a few words carved crudely in the trunk of the tree. A simple message. Don't come back. This story was actually featured in a song called Swamp Witch by Jim Stafford.
Way up the road from Hattie's shack lies a sleepy little Okeechobee town. Talk of Swamp Witch, Hattie, lock you in when the sun go down. Rumors of what she done, rumors of what she do. Kept folks off a track of Hattie's shack in the back of the Black Bayou.
Now, the next thing I'm about to say is the most important part of this story. The Swamp Witch does not want to be found. So I have to say that this story is not real. It's made up. There is no Swamp Witch near Lake Okeechobee. Do not go looking for her.
But the talk got shackled by the howls and the cackles from the bowels of the Black Bayou. Early one morn, between dark and dawn, when shadows fill the sky, there came an unseen caller on a town.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to subscribe, leave a review, share the podcast. I appreciate it all, and it really motivates me to keep going. Thank you guys, and I'll see you next time.